It is running on dead paths that they are not alive. But Tantra says, life is not like that. It is more like a river, not running on iron rails, not on tracks. Really, it is like a river. The path even is not chartered before. As the river flows, the path is created. As the river moves, the path is created. The river will reach to the sea. And this is how life should be. If you understand the Tantra way, like a river, no pre-chartered path, no maps given to you to be followed, just being alive and alert. And then wheresoever life leads you, you go with full confidence in it. Tantra is a trust. Trust in life force. Allow it to lead you. Don't force. Surrender to it and allow it to lead you towards the sea. Just be alert, that's all. While life leads you towards the sea, be alert so you don't miss anything. Very important to remember, Tantra is not simply concerned with the end, it is also concerned with the means. It is also concerned with the path, not only with the destination. If you are alert, even this life will be a bliss. The very movement of the river is a bliss in itself. Passing through the valleys, through the rocks, falling down from the hills, moving into the unknown is itself bliss. Be alert here also, because that the ocean, the ultimate, cannot be just a happening in the end. It cannot be. It is a growth. The river is growing to be the sea. It is not simply going to meet the sea, it is growing to be the sea. And this growth is possible only through a rich experience. Alert, experiencing, moving, trusting. This is how Tantra looks at the search, the human search. Of course it is dangerous. If rivers can be run through predetermined paths, there will be less danger, less errors. But the whole beauty of aliveness will be lost. So don't be a follower of principles. Just be a creator of more and more consciousness. Those principles will happen to you. But you will never feel imprisoned in them. The second sutra, third question, discussed yesterday says the purity of other teachings is an impurity to us. In reality, know nothing as pure or impure. If nothing is impure, then how can the teaching of others be impure? Really, nothing is impure. But the teaching that something is pure and something is impure has to be discarded. Only in that sense, the sutra says, the teachings of others is an impurity to us. Nothing is pure and nothing is impure. But if someone teaches that something is pure and something is impure, Tantra says this has to be discarded. Only in this sense, the sutra says, the purity of other teachings is an impurity to us. Just discarding, just saying that don't make any distinctions, remain innocent, but look at the complexity of life. If I say remain innocent, and if you try innocence, that innocence will not be innocent. How it can be? You tried it. It has become a calculated thing. It cannot be innocent. If you try it, it cannot be innocent. So what is to be done? Just discard those things which create cunningness. Don't try to create any innocence, you cannot. Just discard those things which create cunningness in your mind. This is negative. When you have discarded them, the roots, causes of cunningness, the innocence will happen to you. Nothing is pure and impure. But what is to be done then? Your mind is filled with distinctions. This is pure and that is impure. So Tantra says, for us, this is only impurity. This mind filled with concepts of purity and impurity is the only impurity. If you can discard it, you have become pure. In another sense also, this sutra is meaningful. There are teachings with very fixed rules. For example, Catholic Christian teaching or Jain Indian teaching, they are against sex. They say sex is impure, ugly, sin. Tantra says nothing is ugly, nothing is impure, nothing is sin. Even sex can become a path. Even sex can become a path towards salvation. It depends on you. It is not sex. It is you who determine the quality of it. Even prayer can become a sin. And sex can become a virtue. It depends on you. The value is not in the object. The value is brought by you to it. Look at it, at this phenomena, in a different way. Tantra says even sex can become salvation. But then come to sex without any notions of purity, impurity, good or bad, morality, immorality. Come to sex as pure energy, just energy. Move in that energy as if you are moving into the unknown. Don't fall asleep. Be alert. When sex brings you to the very root of your being, be alert, don't fall asleep on the path. The relaxation that comes, the tension that happens, the peak that comes, and the valley in which you are thrown back, be alert and experience everything, whatsoever is happening. Your ego dissolves for a moment. You become one with your beloved, or with your partner. For a moment, the two are not there. Bodies are two. But deep down, there is a communion and they have become one. Be alert. Don't miss this moment in a sleep. Be alert. See what is happening. So this is what was hidden in the sex act. The sex was just the outer core. Now this is the meaning, the central point. This is what you were longing. This is what was the hankering for. This was the search, this unity, this dissolving of the ego, this feeling of oneness, this ecstasy of non-tension, this ecstasy of relaxation. So this was the meaning, the goal, and this is what you were searching through this woman and that, through this man and that, and you were searching and searching. No woman can fulfill it. No man can give it. Only through a deep tantra awareness, the sex act completely disestasy is revealed. So tantra says, it is you. If you can bring meditation to your love, to your sex, the sex is transformed. So we don't say this is pure and that is impure. And if you want to use the old terminology of purity and impurity, then I will say for tantra, sleep is impure. Alertness is pure. And all else is just meaningless. If an emotional desire, the fourth question, our mood becomes accelerated and we do not express it outwardly, does this energy necessarily go back to the source and make the person fresh and energetic? Not necessarily. But if you are aware, then necessarily. Any energy needs roots to move. And no energy can be destroyed. Energy is indestructible. So only it can change into different forms, but it can never become nothing. So when you try to suppress any energy, you are doing absolute nonsense with yourself. Energy cannot be suppressed. It can only be transformed. A suppressed energy will become a cancer. You feel anger. Two ordinary routes are available. Either express it or suppress it. If you express, then it becomes a chain. Because then you create anger in the other person and he will express it. And there is no end to it. Then you will express it and it can continue for years. It continues, that's how everyone is living. It goes on and on. Those who know deeply, they say for life's also. Lives together, it goes on and on. You have been angry with a person in your past life, and still in this life you are repeating the same pattern with the same person. You are not aware, blissfully unaware. So that's good, you think something new is happening. 99% nothing new is happening, just the old patterns being repeated again and again. Sometimes you suddenly feel a stranger and you become angry. He has not done anything. You have not even met him before, and you feel depressed, are angry, are violent, or you want just to escape from that person. You feel bad. Why? Some old pattern. Energy never dies, it remains. So if you express, you are falling into an eternal chain. Someday you will have to come out of it, and the whole thing is useless, just wastage. Don't start the chain. Then the other ordinary alternative is suppress it. And when you suppress it, you are creating a wound within yourself. That will be suffering. That will create problems. And the anger will go on being suppressed. You will become a volcano of anger. So it may be you are not now expressing your anger, but now your whole personality will become angry. There will be no eruptions. No one will see you beating someone and being violent, but now your whole personality becomes angry because so much anger within poisons you. Now whatsoever you do, the anger part is there. Even while you are loving someone, the anger part is there. Everything, you are eating your food and the anger part is there. You will be violent with your food. You will not be loving. You are opening a door and the anger part will be there. You are violent with the door. One day morning, Mullah Nasruddin was passing down a street. And releasing oaths and saying very angrily the devil will take possession of your spirit and beets will grow in your belly and so on and on. And one man looked at him and he said, Mullah, whom you are cursing so much so early in the morning? So Mullah said, who? I don't know, but don't worry, someone will turn up sooner or later. If you are filled with anger, this happens. You are just waiting, someone will turn up. And inside you are bubbling with fire, just waiting some object, some medium, someone who should help you to unburden. Then your whole personality becomes angry, are violent, are sexual. You can suppress sex and then sex becomes your whole personality. Then wherever you look, you will see sex. Whatsoever you touch, you will see sex. Whatsoever you do will be a sexual act. You can suppress sex very easily, it is not difficult. But then sex will spread all over you. Your every fiber, every cell will become sexual. Look to the celibates, their mind becomes totally sexual. They dream about sex. They fight with sex. Constantly they fantasy about sex, obsessed. That which could have been natural has become perverted. If you express, you create a chain. If you suppress, you create a wound. And both are not good. So Tantra says, whatsoever you do, anger, when you feel anger is coming, be uninterruptedly aware. Don't suppress it and don't express it. Do a third thing, a third alternative. Be suddenly aware that anger is coming. This awareness changes your energy that is moving as anger into a different energy. The very energy that is known as anger becomes compassion. Through alertness, the transmutation. The same energy which is known as sex becomes brahmacharya, spirituality, through awareness. Alertness is the alchemy. Throw it, everything changes. Try it and you will come to know. When you bring alertness, awareness to any mood, any feeling, any energy, it changes its nature and quality. It is never the same again. And a new route opens. It is not going back again to the same place where it was, from where it came. It is not moving outward. The horizontal movement has stopped. With alertness, it becomes vertical. It is moving upwards. That is a different dimension. A bullock cart moves horizontally. An aeroplane goes vertical, upwards. I would like to tell you one parable. One fakir, a Sufi, used to say that someone was presented by a friend, by a great king, an aeroplane, a very small aircraft. But the man was poor. He has heard about aeroplanes, but he has never seen. He knew only bullock cars. So he thought this is some new device, a new type of bullock cart. So he used his two bullocks to bring the aeroplane home. And then he used the aeroplane as a bullock cart. And he was very happy. Of course, the small aircraft worked as a bullock cart. But then by and by, just being curious, he started studying it. Then he came to understand that bullocks are not needed. It has got a motor. So it can go on by itself. So he fueled it and used it as a motor car. But then by and by he became aware of the wings. And he thought, why they are? And the man who has devised this machine seems to be very intelligent, a genius. And he cannot eat something unnecessarily. So the wings, so that the machine can fly also. So he tried. And then the aeroplane came to its own. It became vertical. The mind that you have got, you are using as a bullock cart. The same mind can become a motor car. Then bullocks will not be needed. It has an inbuilt mechanism. But then too it will be moving horizontally. But the same mind has wings. You have not observed, that's why you don't know it has wings. It can fly. It can move upwards. And once it moves upwards, your energies start moving upwards, the whole world is different. Your old questions simply fall down. Your old problems are no more there. Because you are now vertically moving. All those problems were because you were horizontally moving. The problems for a bullock cart are not the problems for an aeroplane. The road was not good, so it was a problem. The road was blocked, so it was a problem. No, it is not a problem because the road is not used at all. So whether blocked or not, whether good or not, it is irrelevant. Moral teachings are bullock cart teachings. Tantra teaching is vertical. That's why all those problems are irrelevant for Tantra. Your energy, that is, you know, as anger, sex, greed, or whatsoever, is moving horizontally. Once you bring your alertness to it, you have brought a new dimension. Just by being alert, you move upwards. Why? Observe the fact, when you are alert, you are always above the fact. Become alert about anything and you are always above the fact. The fact is somewhere below down. You are looking from above, from a peak. Whenever you witness something, you have moved upwards and the thing has remained below. If this attention is really authentic and uninterruptedly you can be aware, the energy that was moving horizontally as anger, as sex, will move into this new dimension. It will come near to you, to the witness. You have started flying. And the device which is to fly, we have been using as a bullock cart for lives and lives. And unnecessarily creating problems, just not knowing what is possible to you. Fifth question. You said that one should neither suppress nor indulge in sex or anger, but one should remain passively alert and meditative. Obviously, it will need a sort of inner effort to avoid suppression or indulgence. But then, is not it also a sort of suppression? No. It is an effort, but not a sort of suppression. Every effort is not suppression. There are three types of effort. Effort which is expression. When you express your anger, it is an effort. Then second type of effort, when you suppress it. When you express what you are doing, you are forcing your energy outward to the person, to the object. You are throwing your energy. The other is the target. Energy moves to the other. It is an effort. When you suppress, you return the energy back to the original source, to your own heart. You force it back. It is an effort. But the direction is different. In expression, it moves away from you. In suppression, it again moves near you. The third, alertness, passive alertness, is also an effort, but the dimension is third. The energy moves upwards. In the beginning, it is an effort. And when I say be passively alert, in the beginning, even passivity is bound to be an effort. Only by and by, as you become more acquainted with it, it will not be an effort. and when it is not an effort, it becomes more passive. And the more passive, the more magnetic to pull the energies upwards. But in the beginning, everything is going to be an effort. So don't become a victim of words. It creates problems. Mystics have always been talking about effortlessness. Don't make any effort, but in the beginning, even this is going to be an effort. When we say be effortless, we only mean that don't force the effort. Allow it to come through awareness. If you force it, you will become tense. If you become tense, anger cannot move upwards. Tension is horizontal. Only non-tense mind can be above, hovering like a cloud. Look at the clouds floating with no effort. Just bring your witnessing as a floating cloud. But in the beginning, it is going to be an effort. Only remember that you are to make it effortless, less and less forcing it, more and more allowing it. This is difficult because language creates the difficulty. If I tell you relax, what you will do? You will make an effort of a sort. But then I tell you don't make any effort, because if you make any effort, that will create tension and you will not be able to relax. Simply relax. So you are at a loss and you are bound to ask, then what do you mean? If I am not going to make any effort, then what I am supposed to do? You are not supposed to do anything, but in the beginning that non-doing will look like a doing. So I will tell, okay, make a little effort, but remember that the effort is to be left behind. Just in the beginning use it as a starter, because you cannot understand non-doing, you can understand only doing. So use the language of doing and action, start it. But only use it as a starter. And remember that the more early you leave it behind, the better. I have heard that when Mullah Nasruddin became very old, he became a victim of insomnia. He couldn't sleep. Everything was tried. Hot baths, pills, tranquilizers, syrups. Nothing was of much help, of no avail. And the children were disturbed, because Mullah will not sleep himself and will not allow anyone to sleep in the house. So the whole night has become a nightmare for the whole family. So they searched desperately any method, any medicine that will help Mullah to sleep, because the whole family was going crazy. So finally, they brought a hypnotist. And the children came very happy and told old Mullah that now you need not be worried, Papa. This is a miracle man. He creates his sleep within minutes. He knows the very magic of it. so you don't be worried. Now there is no fear and you will sleep. The hypnotist sewed a watch with a chain to Nasruddin and said, only very little faith will do the miracle. You need me, a little trust towards me. Just trust me and you will fall like a small babe into deep sleep. Look at this watch. And he started moving that watch left and right. Nasruddin looked at it and the hypnotist says, left, right, your eyes are getting tired, you are falling asleep. And everyone was happy. Mullah's eyes closed, his head moved down, he fell like a small babe into deep sleep. A very rhythmic breathing came. So the hypnotist took his fee, put his finger on his lips, just to tell the children that now don't disturb, and he stole out. The moment he was out, Mullah opened his one eye and told, that nut, has he gone yet? He was doing the effort of relaxing. So he relaxed like a babe. He started breathing rhythmically, closed his eyes. But it was all effort. He was helping the hypnotist. He thought that he is helping the hypnotist. But it was effort on his part and nothing happened. Nothing can happen. He was awake. If he could have just been passive, heard what was being said, looked what was being sown, the sleep would have happened. No effort on his part was necessary. Only passive acceptance was necessary. But even to bring your mind to that passive acceptance, in the beginning, you will need effort. So don't be afraid of effort. Start with effort. Just remember that effort has to be left behind and you have to move beyond effort. Only when you are moved beyond, you will be passive. And that passive awareness brings the miracle. With passive awareness, mind is no more there. For the first time, your inner center of being is revealed. And there is reason. Effort is needed for anything to do in the world. If you want to do in the world anything, effort is needed. But if you want to do something in the inner, no effort is needed. Just relaxation is needed. Non-doing is the art there, as doing is the art in the outward, outside world. This passive alertness is the key. But don't get disturbed by language. Start with effort. Just keep in mind that you have to leave it and go on leaving it. Even leaving will be an effort, but a moment comes, everything has gone. You are there, simply there. Not doing anything. Just there, being. That beingness is samadhi. And all that is worth knowing, worth having, worth being, happens to you in that state. Enough for today.